This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with Dr. Richard Lannan in San Francisco. I grew up in America. I'm as American as the next guy, maybe. Most of us don't really think about being social animals. A, we've sort of rejected this notion that we're animals at all, and particularly in America, but in the West and increasingly, the social part of the social animal, we just haven't paid any attention to. Doesn't that take us in a direction? And perhaps you'd like to talk about bringing us back to a sense of this animal, which we just don't want to think about.
Yes, the direction that is like we're not an animal, like somehow we're a bodiless mind creature.
We're rational. They're not.
Right. That's right. I mean, that's the difference.
And that's the problem.
And we're not. But actually, we are, and we've been given the gift of being a social animal for so long in evolution. And evolution really has given us a lot of tools as a social animal that allow us to be who we are.
The gift of being a social animal.
Yes. And, I mean, one of the most wonderful things is emotions. We have them. They're part of us. We don't have to learn them.
They're not optional?
They're not optional. They're there. A child, even a blind child, knows how to smile. You know, it's not learned. It's innate. All our emotions are innate. They need tuning. And they get tuned by their relationship with their mother or their father in the family. They get tuned by other people whose emotions are tuned. So it's important that that occurs, that there be a social communication with another social animal to get tuned.
Is it like practice tuned?
Kind of. It's like if you have a good musical instrument, and it's playing the notes right, and you're not quite sure how to play the notes right, but you know you have the instrument. You can tune yourself to have a good sound, and that's what it's like. So you'll tune yourself with your mother or your dad, and gradually be able to be that, and know that that's what you are.
So that's one gift of being a social animal.
Yeah. The other is that process, that tuning in process, actually stabilizes each of us in a metabolic way. We like to think in America that we're all independent, closed loop systems. You know, we can handle it. You know, we can do it. Actually, we're open loops. We affect one another. So, mainly through our emotional system, but being with each other as social animals, we have impact on one another.
Actually, you say it even bigger than that. You say we create each other.
We do.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, we do. I mean, if there's so many examples of social animals not having social contact and the devastation that causes. And the uncreation, or the missed creation of that, but we do. We create each other. A mother, you know, has a wonderful privilege to create their children, and
that's, more than a father.
I think the mother's better at it. Fathers can learn, but mothers, I think, have it. Innately better than fathers do.
I'm listening to what you're saying and hearing something that may be implicit, maybe not. That limbic, that middle mm-hmm. system in our brains, physically, mm-hmm. science, which is appealing, is the emotive part. It is also, and in that sense, as you describe it, it is also it is what makes socialization possible.
Right.
In the absence of that, which was, you know, we have sort of socially tried to remove that, to, I don't know what the equivalent, lobotomize, or, you know, the limbic mm-hmm. part of our brains, but it puts the rational in direct contact with the reptilian, which, you know, sounds like a prescription for disaster. It also sounds like a lot of what happened in the 20th century, mm-hmm. The catastrophes, the various holocausts that mm-hmm. occurred. When you take that emotional, that what I characterize as empathy, and you rightly do more broadly, in the absence of that limbic process, that resonance you describe, which is the socializing, acculturating part, you get some very nasty consequences.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And have. Mm-hmm. Well, take me to a happier place. So if that's the downside,
well, the upside,
is the answer to all questions just plug in your emotions?
Well, the upside is that we have that. We have this, we have our emotions. We have our ability to attach. We are social animals. If we turn in that direction, and that actually will help us. So it's like a tool that we do have, and we can, there's so many, like AA is a wonderful example.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes. People have trouble with an addiction, alcohol. They get very lonely. They get very isolated. They don't know themselves. Part of it is just saying, I won't drink. And that's your ticket into AA. And what does AA do? AA puts you in connection with people. Anytime you need, you can reach out. And people will support you. You'll develop a society. And people who work the program, that's what they have. And that heals them.
It also puts you in contact with people with whom you can contact, which right. to me is the tremendous insight of this.
Yeah.
And it's that resonance. And you can't resonate with somebody that you're too different from,
that's
which
right.
is why alcoholics tend to be.
Or isolated. Any other addiction. This isn't just pulling
a figure.
Well,
it's not just addiction. It's anything that gets you out of, in a sense, harmony with yourself.
Right. And you only can see what you are. You know, so in a
you
sense.
You only can see what you are?
When you're growing up in your family, you have certain experiences that are like prototypes that you've learned, and to yourself, that is the way the world is. And you will recognize something that tunes into you.
Whether it's good, bad, or ugly.
Exactly.
And if it's ugly, you will tune into the ugly when the beautiful is there and you just can't see it.
You can't see it. It doesn't feel true or real. You'll tune into the ugly. So if if you're unfortunate enough to have a relationship with someone who's abusing you, or you might pick that because of your childhood, and that might be all you see. But if you work with someone who can understand that that's where you are and see you well enough, and you can see them well enough because they tune into you well enough, with their connection to you, they can help you change, both leave an abusive person and change yourself so that that doesn't happen again to you.
It's real easy to blame, especially in this culture. You're not saying blame your parents, everything's their fault,
no.
and do exactly as you are. You're saying, I think, that there is hope, that one can, even though one has learned these things and it is biological, mm-hmm. and you can do something about it.
Right, and we can do something about it.
Deep something.
Yeah, and almost right away we can start to do something about it.
But the do is the
right.
underscore part,
right.
isn't it?
Right, and do socially. Do on a social level with other people.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
There seem to be two pieces. You know, one way of looking at this. There's a developmental piece, and there's a modification. The developmental, I think of as you grow, when we're young, we're very plastic. We're creating these structures you talk about. We're building that implicit memory.
Right.
And I think we tend to assume that once we've done the developmental, we become adults or are certified as adults, then that we don't do that anymore. We're pretty well stuck with it, and we just do variations on a theme. What you're saying is, I think, two things, that we have to pay attention to that developmental phase, but even if we go astray or someone we know goes astray, that there are still things that can be done downstream.
Right. There's still hope. And the hope comes from the social interactions that it has tremendous power to heal. It has tremendous power to change, and you know, when I went to medical school, the thought was that the brain if you lose neurons, you're in trouble because you don't create them. You know, it doesn't regenerate. It's so exciting to see now, you know, that we do actually, even at our age, are still generating new nerve cells. And in a sense, I like to think of it like that, in terms of we've had a thought that developmentally we're set, and then we can't change emotionally, we can't change as an adult, but we can, and we can do it through our contact with other people.
There's a piece of this too that again listening to you comes out. You know, we keep saying you are what you eat, and I'm not suggesting cannibalism, but what I'm hearing you say is that we are who we associate with, for better or worse. Right. Be careful who your friends are.
Right.
Mama was right.
Right. That's right.
This is Dr. Richard Lannan. We're going to be back in just a moment, and he can tell us a little more about You Are What You Eat, Bill. Bill Russell and I are in San Francisco with Dr. Lannan. We'll all be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.